It is with an extremely heavy set of hearts that we bring to you today's podcast, which is a re-airing of our 2015 interview with our friend Mac Miller. Mac died at the age of 26 on this past Friday. And our worlds were devastated. This is a really hard one. Even 3 days later when we record this. Because we've seen a lot of people we've seen a lot of people around the world express very eloquently how they felt. His managers, his publicist, his friends, people who were just as close as family, and this is our relationship with Mac. You know, in this business, if you're a white person, you're not supposed to like other white people who love rap just as much as you, you know? Peter Rosenberg didn't like us when we first met, or even before we first met, you know? And we returned the favor. We didn't like Asher Roth. And I think that we weren't supposed to like Mac Miller. You know, oh man, you know, a teenager who can, you know, who loves rap just as much as us and can spit in so many different ways and represents for the culture before that was a thing. And then we got a job doing these funny, absurdist interviews for MTV. And we went to
Governor's Ball.
Governor's Ball.
2011?
Yep. And we sat down with Mac Miller and we fell in love. And
like immediately,
you know,
it was the most immediate thing.
He's and that's something, that's a relationship that developed for the rest of his life. We've been over to his house.
We went over to his New York City apartment.
Yeah.
We tried to send him packages to his house.
we knew his friends. We knew his family. One of our closest friends is one of his closest lifelong friends, Ian Wolfson, who's our music video director and was his. He goes by Rex Arrow. We would FaceTime, we would call, we would see each other.
He would shout us out in his Instagram lives.
We and anytime we did anything, a sketch, an interview, a podcast, or anytime we were around each other, there was something special. There was a bond that I don't know why. You know, we're not the same age. We're not from the same town. We didn't have the same experiences. But there was a mutual respect that existed between all of us. And I took a lot of care to go through a lot of video that we have of the three of us and put together a one-minute Instagram video that I hoped would summarize who he was and how funny he was and how much he grew over the time that we knew him, and showed you a very human side to him. And look, everyone has been and should be talking about the amazing music he made and the amazing live performances that he made and the everlasting relationships that he made across the board. And all that stuff stands and is representative of him. When we put together that video, there was just something that the three of us had that was extremely special. And you can see it in his eyes and you can see it in his reactions. There's love and there's life and there's energy and these fireworks of
it was a real friendship.
Of comedy. Yeah. You know, we cared for each other and after Mac put out his latest and last album, Swimming, Mac, you could sense that he was back on good footing. And one of the ways that I knew that was that he reached out to us again. And we were able to correspond with him and tell him in great detail how much he meant to us and how much we loved him, and he was able to do the same back to us. And
that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And then considering where we are today, the fact that it happened and that we were able to say that is so extremely meaningful. And I'm glad we got to say that, and I'm glad we got to hear it from him. And we got to speak with him on Instagram Live last Wednesday, so 2 days before he died. And
we were joking, and it was good, and he seemed like, I mean, we weren't with him, but he seemed like he was in a really good place.
And we heard he was in a really good place.
Right, from people who were around him.
And I hate this. I hate that it happened at all. I hate that it happened to a 26-year-old. I hate that it happened to Mac Miller. I hate that it happened to Malcolm McCormick. I hate it. I hate it for his family, and I hate it for his friends, and I hate it for everyone who loved his music. And we went to a vigil
on Friday night, organized by this kid, Ramon.
I hate it for all of them, and I hate it for everybody who has messaged us and told us how much Mac has changed their lives. And I hate it for us. Hate it. This has been extremely painful. Extremely painful. He was so full of light and energy and goodwill and love. And now all we have is the art and memories that he left behind.
A lot of people have reached out to us in the past few days and told us how much this interview meant to them. And it certainly means a lot to us. And we hate that we have to put this interview out again under these circumstances, the same way we had to do, or we felt we had to do when Combat Jack passed away in late December. We put out an episode in we put out the episode again in January. And we know that a lot of people will get stuff out of this episode, this interview. We cover a lot of ground, good and bad. And it captures a moment in time. And so we love you. We love our friend Mac Miller. And thanks for listening.
Long live Malcolm McCormick.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Blood Money, a.k.a. Slime Does Pay. Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Smoking Phillies, a.k.a. New York Mets.
Hi. Hello. I'm Malcolm. Mac Miller. Pow, 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 pow.
This is a waste of time, but this is the real. Pow, 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 pow. Great job.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, Mac.
Yeah. I like to bring energy to whatever.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we are podcasting live from Mac Miller's new residence in Brooklyn, in Dumbo.
Jesus, man. What? You want to give up the building and the address?
Give up the address.
Yeah, Mac lives on the quietest street in Brooklyn.
Dumbo is like a 3-block radius. There's not like...
Yeah, there's going to be people waiting outside like Powerhouse Books.
Yeah, just waiting to... work.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yo, let me
get my email. It happens. I give out my email.
Do you really give out your email?
I have an email to give out. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
No, I have.
Is it my email?
Yeah.
It's the real.jeff.
Not necessarily. Your email.
It's no. It is my email. It's just I have an email for that.
Have you ever opened anything from that email?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like people's music that they send me because I listen to everything people send me.
Uh-huh. That seems like a waste of time.
Our mom was really excited because she knows of you. She knows
hey.
Yeah, because who's waiting outside?
No, mom's a fan because you had us on your TV show.
Yeah, I mean,
she's seen all the interviews with you. See, you might be our most fun interview because strictly because we've interviewed you the most times.
Yeah, I think usually it's on film. This is so nice that it's just now everyone gets to hear our voices.
That's right.
Which is all they've really ever wanted.
That's
to.
It.
Right. Because if there's anything I know about us, it's that we all have such nice voices.
Shout out to the moms. It's the real moms, though.
Yeah. No,
She wants to get signed if you open up your email.
Okay. She was like, when's the last time you saw Mac? And I don't know if it's been within the last year and a half or whatever, but I know.
Do you guys mind if I light a candle?
No, please.
Okay.
That's not even a joke. You're really lighting a candle.
Yeah. Okay. Continue.
Are you lighting it for anyone?
For
peace?
Just for the nice smells.
Sure.
I haven't showered.
You thought like in memory of like former
interviews.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the last time I think we spoke to you was right after we had been in LA, and you were still living in LA at that point.
Yes.
And Jeff and I went to this place on Fairfax called No Name.
Okay.
And it has, coincidentally, no name.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
Probably not.
Yeah.
It accurately has no name.
Right.
And we went there to meet up with our manager, and we ended up sitting in a booth with two other girls, and one of the girls starts waving at the door. And in walks in Owen Wilson.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So Owen Wilson sits down in our booth. Now there's five of us in there, and we're squeezed in. And Owen's just like, what do you guys do? And we're like, number one, this is crazy. You're sitting with us, Owen.
Number two, hopefully you.
We're hip-hop sketch comedians. He's like, that's fascinating. Really interesting. He was like, I was just at home reading this piece in the New Yorker about a guy named Peter Rosenberg. Do you know him?
We're like, yes, we know him. He lives across the street. We went to his wedding. You know, like...
You guys are tight.
We know him.
We know his email.
And he's like, yeah, like seems like a really genuine guy. Gets along with his parents. And
we're like, yes, that's the takeaway from the article. He gets along with his parents. But then he was also like, oh, do you know this guy, Mac something?
He's a rapper.
He's a rapper. He has a lot of tattoos. And we were just like, Mac Miller? Yeah. Like we were on his TV show. Yeah.
Yeah, we've known him for years.
And
great
he's
guy.
Like, oh, I was just in my neighbor Rick Rubin's house, and we were going from ice bath to hot tub to ice bath together.
Yeah. And we're just staring at him just like, what are you talking
Look,
about?
Look, man, I'm out here.
And that is very out there.
And so what did we do? Well, first of all, we're like, that's amazing. And he was laughing at everything we said. We were just killing.
Just got to throw that
killing.
Out there.
And then we're just like, oh, no.
He's very high.
He's just super duper high.
Yeah. Like, was he high?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, like, who eats eggs at, like...
Who laughs at our stuff?
Right.
So anyway...
Shout out to the real moms.
Yeah. So we get back to our Airbnb and try texting Peter, and it's like 3 hours later here in New York. Doesn't answer. Try calling him all the next day. Does not return our phone calls. We're like, you're just an asshole. We have big news to tell you that Owen Wilson is a huge fan. And then we went on the Billboard podcast with Eric Ramirez.
Right.
Called you up, and we were like, what's going on? And I think you might have said the same thing. You're just like, I'm really out here.
I am. I had some bonding time. I almost said bondage time with Owen Wilson, but that's not what I meant. Bonding time.
Sure.
But
the exciting thing was that there were two exciting things. One is when the Ice Bucket Challenge was happening.
Yeah.
In that heyday of Ice Bucket Challenges, you could see Rick Rubin's. He videoed his.
Right.
And he started loading up this giant tub.
Right. And he nominated three people: Eminem, Rihanna, Owen Wilson.
And we're like, oh my god, it's true.
Yeah.
It really happened.
Yeah. No, that we did that. But how it happened was because, like, I was walking in with Rick to his house, and he had just said, like, just because we, you know, get ready to get an ice bath. Owen's in there. My friend's Owen. And I was like, okay, I wonder who this Owen guy is. And then I was like, huh, fucking Owen Wilson. Great guy, by the way. Both our parents are photographers.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah, so.
So, do you have Owen Wilson's email?
No.
No.
I think it's just Owen at Wilson. .com.
Yeah.
Probably. He works for the sporting goods
You
company.
Cracked the code. Good work.
Yeah. No, but I'm not like big on like making sure I get people's contact. If the universe wants, you know, a Mac Miller Owen Wilson collabo to happen, it will happen.
Does he rap?
No, but I'm saying there's other ways to collaborate.
Name one.
In a video
or in an ice bath.
Yeah, no, but it was, that's like a, I miss the ice bath sauna. Well, it's really helpful for the mind and body.
The other thing that sort of signified that you really did this was that Rembert Brown wrote a great article in Grantland about you.
Yeah.
And you admitted that you spent a lot of time over at Rick Rubin's house.
Yeah.
Sort of getting your mind right.
Yeah, getting my mind right. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I didn't want to go to a rehab facility. So I called Rick Rubin. Well,
so accidentally.
Help me!
Well, let's just take it back for a second. You were in Europe?
Yeah, I'm in Europe.
And you felt like...
Just shit was getting a little out of hand.
Everything was getting out of hand?
Yeah, just... I basically just drunk dialed him.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, that, like... It wasn't like I called Rick Rubin from, like, a coked out corner in my room popping pills. Like, Rick, please help me. I'm about to shoot up right now. But no, I was just drunk and thinking about life. And I was like, you know what I would love to do when I got home is, like, get my shit together. Rick Rubin, you have your shit together. You're still alive. Let's do this.
Well, what did he
pick up on, like, first ring?
Yeah, I mean, not, like, first ring. Is it, like, did I have to call back?
Right. Or, like, yeah. I didn't mean, like, hello?
Like, did he have his phone in his hand? No, yeah. Rick and I are, like, pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially
much
now.
Closer now, yeah.
I mean, you stayed in the man's house.
No, I didn't stay in his house. I got a house that was down the street.
And then you would walk over?
Yeah.
Like any good neighbor
I would golf cart over every day.
Stop.
Yeah, but I like, rented a golf cart while I was there because everything in that area is, like, close by.
Yeah.
So it's legal to, like, pull your golf cart up to the grocery store and load it up. Like, this one night, we got drunk and, like, rode the golf cart all throughout the un-golf cartable places.
This was the highway?
No, just, like, up through things, like, knocked over things. It was, you know, then picked them up.
This is while you were detoxing?
Yeah. Well, detox is, you know, subjective.
Okay. Right. Detox is now Compton.
No.
Hey, that was good. Thank you.
That was good. No, I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, I did like a few weeks to a month of just straight sobriety, but like, I'm not, you know, I drink still, I smoke.
You're still cool.
What's a conversation with Rick Rubin like in that time? I mean, is he just trying to like get to know you?
Yeah. I mean, our relationship started, because, I went out there to play him music. And
your music.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just other people's music. Hey, Rick, what's up? I just want you to check out my friend.
You ever hear this, like, Beastie Boys song?
No, so I went out there and...
Have you heard of Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yeah, it's like, he didn't play this album called Californication. I went out there and just... What I remember is we sat down and the first thing that he said, which I later asked me, does remember saying, but he was like... Tell me everything. And I was like, do you have time? And is the answer to that is yes. Like he's a he's like a very good like someone that's like listen like he is engaged, you know. Yeah. So I like basically went through my whole history of a, as a human being. And
did you look up at the clock and it was like 3 minutes have gone by? And it was like, wait, what?
No. And I was definitely what I mean. Okay, so we talked for a while and then I'm drinking some tea, looking out at the ocean. And then go inside, and he has, like, this music sanctuary kind of set up where it's just really nice speakers.
This is Shangri-La?
No, this is at his home.
Okay.
And then...
Shangri-La is a separate...
It's a separate entity.
Residence, yeah.
It's a separate entity. It's a studio.
Right.
So I played him this album that I had at the time. Oh, I almost said the title. That was close. Okay.
You still have time. It's cool.
This album that I made at the time, that's just really experimental. And I remember I played it for him, and his response was, I've never heard anything like this in my whole entire life.
And in a good way?
Yeah.
Okay. he could have been like, I've never.
Yeah. No, like, he was really into it. Yeah, so we just listened to that. I just wanted to say that compliment because I was sick. And then... you know, just had a lot of talks about just life and we both love the Beatles and like transcendental meditation and just all that types of stuff. And that's how our relationship started. So, you know.
Okay, a couple things. What kind of tea did you have? Did you have your selection?
I think I had black tea, if I can remember. Okay.
Boring.
All right. Asshole.
Jeff wants like orange in there.
Yeah, like yeah. No, I mean just saying it's just like Rick Rubin is a human being as well. He has black tea at the house. And he also has chickens.
Actually, that's
fair. He has chickens?
Yeah, there's like some the freshest eggs you can imagine.
Oh, live chickens.
I believe, yeah.
And does he pick the eggs?
I don't know exactly how he does it.
Okay.
I've never been like, Rick, do you mind getting eggs and letting me watch you? Just a research project.
You know what
project.
Would go great with this tea? Eggs.
No,
and you know
but
what else? Sausage.
He you know, just showed me a lot of stuff. And then when I was out in Europe doing a show, that's when I called him.
Oh, I see where it is in the timeline now. Gotcha. So you already had a relationship with him.
Yeah,
this
but
wasn't
it,
like...
it wasn't like a... we hadn't hung out all the time. It was just like I went over there a few times. And then, you know me, we hang out 3 times. You're now my best friend.
Right.
So I'll call you and I when I'm depressed. So it's like, hey.
Yeah.
And about four hangouts in, he's like, I know, you know, I know a good... therapist. Yeah,
I like the idea that Rick has these hens there, and as part of your therapy, it's just like, well, it's like sort of like Karate Kid. It's just like, here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna go pick eggs, and you're like, I don't understand.
It is no, it's very like, you know, it's like a strict routine and schedule that we stayed on. You know, waking up with the sun and going to sleep. Night earlier.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that, I mean, like, you don't have to name names, but is there anybody he's done this for as well? Or is this, like, his first time, like, taking in, like, a person?
Taking in a struggling young...
A runaway.
A runaway from L.A. No, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, it wasn't like I went to... I lived down the street. It wasn't like he took me into his home and, like...
Made but, you pick eggs.
Right, no, right. But I mean, he helped me out a lot. And
that's awesome.
And yeah, he had like this amazing helper at his house who would like cook. He's like a chef, but also help with other things. And
Owen Wilson?
No, but he, this dude was like amazing and made food. All like the most natural ingredients. I mean, that's where I would like to spend my summers, you know?
Yeah.
Does Rick know that?
Not like with Rick, but I'm saying like my experience in Malibu was like, mm-hmm. Was awesome.
What's your relationship with Rick now?
Just, you know, like it wasn't right for me. It didn't feel right to have my first major label album be executive produced by Rick Rubin. You know what I'm saying? To like to have it be that, you know. So I wanted to wait. I think we're going to talk about working on music for maybe the next one. But, yeah, I mean, it's just like a friend. We stay in touch. He pointed me in the direction of some things around the city, you know.
In New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think one of the most interesting parts of Rem's article was that you were like, this is my time to, when you were with Rick, to play music that wasn't recorded just for yourself.
Right.
Like, and really, like, spend time, like, you know, taking care and, like, finding yourself in that moment. I thought that was, like, such a forgotten piece of, like, being famous, I guess.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thanks. That was interesting. I am interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, Rick Rubin compliment, and then Jeff compliment.
Yeah.
You're somebody who, I think you went directly from Pittsburgh, where you'd lived your whole life, to L.A., and that was the second place you lived, right?
Yes.
So there was, it was just sort of like diving into the deep end in terms of like celebrity, and I mean, this happened pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd lived in Pittsburgh for a while, I did my fair share of stuff there, but L.A. was just a little more accessible.
Well, no, but the
it's
idea
like
celebrity
culture,
yeah.
Okay, cool. We're not only talking about drugs. Awesome.
No.
Well, I'd love to talk more about drugs.
About the celebrity thing, though.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah. I mean, it's definitely a culture out there. But it is what you make it. And I think, you know, that's the conversation I've had, is that I have to... Like, I had a lot of great friends out there, too. Like, it wasn't just this dark place for me. I love L.A.
Yeah.
I think my day-to-day lifestyle was just a bit unhealthy, and I wasn't into... Like, I have to paint a certain L.A. for myself. You know, that's kind of what, like, what I'm working on is making L.A., my day-to-day in L.A., like, I have to change the radio station.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because what my L.A. is isn't what L.A. is necessarily. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot more to it. But, yeah, I mean, the celebrity culture is all around. There's everyone's... It's a lot of people in a certain industry, you know?
Well, and do you think that you needed more... I don't want to say, like, down to earth, but or normal or whatever, because what's normal? But do you think you needed more people in your life out there that weren't a part of that celebrity culture for you to get by?
No, I think for me, to be honest, a lot of the move was because I missed seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly. And I think that, like, waking up in L.A. every day and having... it pretty much be the same day every day because it's always great weather. It's always, it was like, it was actually like, I'm from Pittsburgh. I need rain. I need, you know, like I need to go outside and to be cold. Sometimes I need, like, I have a lot of fly winter gear that I want to rock.
There it is.
No, it's just a shift, man. Like, I'm 23 years old and I'm blessed with the opportunity to be able to have a nice house in L.A. and then get an apartment here. And you know, I just don't think I'm going to live anywhere for, like, a long, long time. I gotta test the waters out.
Yeah.
Next, it's out of the country. We'll see.
Really?
We'll see.
It's going to be like Jersey Shore goes to Italy?
Yeah, exactly.
Malcolm goes to Ireland.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? We'll see where the road takes us.
Are you still hanging out with the same guys?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I know, I mean, like, I follow, or I try to follow Jimmy on Instagram, among other people, and Jimmy, like, seems to disappear.
we all have a really important method of communication called the group text.
Yeah. I'm not on the group text.
No, you're not on the group text. But
I just want to make clear. I don't know if you've seen my number come up.
So we all, like, stay in touch all the time and are all talking constantly. Everyone has, like, a personal journey to go through, and Jimmy's, if he wants to hitchhike across the country, I'm not going to come to him and be like, look, man, I know you want to do this personal growth thing, but I'm famous and I need regular friends. You know what I mean?
You sound like a wrestler from the 80s.
Because that's how I would hype him up to not go. But I'm saying, like, I, you know, it's not, that'd be selfish. You know, if somebody wants to do something for themselves, I'm not going to, just because it would be nice to have someone I grew up with around to watch my back from whatever. You know, it's like you got to let people do their thing.
Or don't, you know?
Or so, just be like, you must all live in the apartment across the hall.
I saw Entourage, so.
I mean, honestly, at any one time, what was the most number of people who were sleeping in your house? Like, regularly?
Probably like 9 or 10.
9 or 10.
Jesus.
Maybe 9.
So Jeff and I have been to that house. Like, obviously, we shot the TV series there, Mac Miller and the Most Dope Family.
Yeah.
I think we'd also stopped there at other times. It was a really nice house. In a nice sort of part of town where your neighbors.
It wasn't a nice part of town. It was right across the street from. I mean, not right across the street, but it was
Compton.
Yes, you had the nicest house in Compton. Compton.
Yeah, that's
well. What it, but your neighbors necessarily weren't your biggest fans.
Oh no. Hell no.
Did you?
You also didn't have a mailbox.
We didn't. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know. We had a P.O. box.
Yeah, but so. So Q...
Yeah, we had to send something to you.
Yeah.
And Q was like, oh, just send it to like this address. And we sent it. And then...
We got it in our mailbox back. And we're like, what happened? And Q was like, oh, man. The guy didn't throw it over the fence.
Yeah, that was one thing is that sometimes we'd just like the packages would be just throw it over the fence. So like... But yeah, I mean, it was a very disconnected place. You know, that's what my L.A., it, you know, has been is like this imaginary world, which is great.
Sure.
But like, you know, I'm currently in reality.
But you also didn't have much furniture in that place.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of furniture. If you go to my storage unit, you'll think otherwise. But we had a lot of furniture. We just had a lot of house. It was like over 6,000 square feet.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, the studio wasn't
Hotline
that big.
Bling.
The studio wasn't that big.
No, the studio wasn't that big.
And then a lot of people would sleep down there too.
Yeah, no, but the studio was cozy. I mean, that's my favorite studio I've ever recorded at.
Our mutual friend Ian, who directs all of your videos.
He stayed there for a while.
And all of our videos, he would be like, "Oh yeah, did you see my beanbag?"
Well, you know, let's chill on the possessiveness, Ian. But I've spent many more nights on that beanbag than he has. But
but he really claimed it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I mean, I'm gonna text him after this. But we'll like.
Can we be on the group text when you're talking about it?
We'll see. yeah, I mean, I would, because it was like the pool house was converted to the studio. And then, so to get up to my room, you have to go up back into the house and then up five stairs. So most nights I just was like, fuck it. Just slept down there. There's a shower down there.
Well, who else slept down there? Who are some of the people who slept down there? Schoolboy Q.
Q would fall asleep, but he would always go home. You know?
He knew better?
No, I'm just saying like, he like, you know, Soul would stay for like a week.
Wow.
Yeah. to the point that I could be like, yo, man, hey. But it'd be great because you'd come down and Soul would just be like brushing his teeth. He'd be like, what's up, man? Good morning. But I'm saying we
you
had...
left his own toothbrush there?
No, he'd bring it with him. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm saying Soul stayed there a lot. A lot of different people.
Oh,
Crash. Yeah, Tab A would sleep over every now and then. Big rapper slumber parties.
Yeah,
we'd all tell ghost stories.
Did anybody pay back the favor by either letting you sleep at their place or making you breakfast in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no one like took. It was like that was the vibe of the place. It wasn't like the only one time Chuck English like was really trying to get ice cream sandwiches. That was like the only time that was like. Funny. I was like, Chuck, no, we don't have ice cream sandwiches. But that's like an inside joke with me and Soul, though, is that we were just down there and Chuck's like, yo, man, do you guys have those ice cream sandwiches? Can you go get me one? I was like, get your own fucking ice cream. What the fuck do you think this is? It wasn't like a situation like that. It just made sense. You know, when you're making music until 6 in the morning,
sure.
Crash.
Mm-hmm. So one of the times we stopped by, you played us a whole bunch of music. This was before your...
Probably before
watching movies, right?
Okay, maybe before Faces. or watching movies.
I think it was before watching movies.
I don't listen to your music.
And we
not many people do, unless they're under the age of 14.
So we stopped by.
But those motherfuckers buy.
We stopped by and you played us some music, and none of that music in that form ended up on that album.
Yeah.
We heard stuff with, like, there were so many features that none of them ended up on that. I mean, you had other features, but the ones we heard did not end up on that album.
Yeah, I'm a hoarder.
Yeah, I've seen your furniture in your closet.
So this is not going to be the situation here. This is going to be a nice apartment. Besides that chair. So
yeah.
but, no, I mean, I'm constantly make music and just because it has a name on it, or it doesn't necessarily mean that it works with what I'm trying to do.
No, I hear that.
Could those like songs end up somewhere else later on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at some point I'm gonna do like a basement tapes type thing.
Like, because I mean, you have to think of like the other people's perspective too. Like, you obviously like go to them and say, "Hey, I have this good song and I'd like you to be on it," and then you get it. They put in their work, and then you're like, you know what?
Well,
I'm gonna sort of sit on that.
It's like sharpening the sword, you know? Like Thundercat and I have written thousands is too much, but like a lot of songs, and it's not, he doesn't keep calling me like, "Where the fuck is my music at that we made, man? I was at your house. I played an instrument and sang. What the fuck?" But it's more like, you know, it's like happy to create.
Yeah.
So we get to... I get to listen to it. Yeah, like, you know, I got a bunch of random unreleased verses from people that are great, but it's not, if I do a verse for someone, it doesn't end up on an album, I'm not like, "Yo, can I at least get like $100 and a pack of cigarettes?"
No, of course. Right. Some fresh eggs, whatever.
Yeah.
Some
ice cream sandwiches.
Well,
see, I took your inside joke and I made it for me now.
Yeah. And Jeff's going to share it with me over our group text.
Yeah, go, do it. Go.
Remember, obviously you do remember, the Pharrell project that you had?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That never came out.
I know.
Pink Slime?
Pink Slime,
and,
man. That had the bangers.
Did you have Pharrell rapping on that too with you?
Yeah.
Whoa.
There were tracks with him rapping, him doing hooks. One of the tracks we did actually ended up on Travis Scott's album. I'm not going to
say which one.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. I don't care. I mean,
that's dope, though.
But no, it was dope, man. I mean, looking back, I wish we would have put that EP together, because I was like right before like Pharrell, the resurgence of Pharrell happened.
Yeah.
So I would have like looked super cool.
Well, a couple things.
I mean, you made Pharrell. I think yeah. Is that the pull quote from this?
No.
Did
no
you record, claims?
You recorded that in Miami with him?
Yeah, we did a lot of tracks together in Miami. I did a couple like on the on my tour bus.
What stopped that from coming out?
You know, I think, which like there's moments like this that's a shame, because like the world didn't get to hear like a bunch of awesome music that Pharrell and I did. But I think there was and I get hit up about that project by fans all the time.
Yeah.
Like, where's Pink Slime? Where's Pink Slime?
McDonald's.
But no, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You see the concept.
Yeah.
So like we had a concept that was dope. We had music that was dope. Features like, had this joint with Styles P.
What?
It was, me, Pharrell, Styles P. We had a joint with Currency, me, Pharrell, and Currency, that all three of us had a verse.
This is dope.
Yeah.
It was dope.
Tagline. But, you know, I think at that point, I like had to make a decision, which I was proud of myself for making, that like Pharrell is this artist who's years in the game and all the way up here, and I wanted to cement my own identity and what I did first, because you know, I didn't want to, it just, I wanted to make, I wanted to put out watching movies, basically.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay, so when you were transitioning from your first to your second album, how much of that was you being like, I want to be taken seriously and I don't want people to put me into this like idea of frat rap or this idea of white rap or whatever,
or whatever pitchfork, you know, threw at you?
Yeah.
No, like really, like
honestly.
Yeah.
No, for me, I think for me, when I just went into making, watching movies, it was less like I want to be taken seriously and more like I'm not going to try and make big records. You know, like I'm not going to try and I'm just going to make music and put an album together, you know, and just focus on and really dive in and work hard in what an album is. I mean, did I want to be taken seriously? Yeah. Who doesn't?
Well, sure. You know? I mean, us.
I was gonna say besides you guys, but I'm saying
Well, no, but like honestly, like there was a time I think you were probably hesitant of like working with us, like at least musically, because you were probably like, well, I don't want to have my craft mixed
right.
up with like these fools.
Right. Well, no. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, there was definitely a time period where I've realized that it was just touchy for me. You know what I'm saying? Not like one wrong move could end everything, but like just that, like I started to see how people took certain things I did and didn't want to be thought of as anyone that didn't really take this. It's not like that I didn't take this seriously,
right.
You know, like that because I do, and obviously for the past couple years or whatever, I like this is. The something very near and dear to my heart. It is my heart. And I just want to say that, no. So I, you know, I mean, obviously like certain things affected me as a 19 year old kid. But I think for the most part, when I transitioned to watching movies, which if you listen is cause I remember Nas had not the rapper,
right. The writer,
the writer
Nas,
had said, that this, if you listen to the catalog, it's not as huge of a departure as everyone was making it seem, which was like, yeah, I mean, there weren't these super big records on watching movies that fit a certain audience, but it was just a focused album. It was just, to me, an improved album, and I think that's what, people always are like, if I played some people the newest record, Good AM, September 18th, and they said, oh, I don't mean to offend you, but this is your best album yet. Like, this is better than the last one. No offense. Like, none taken. That's, like, the point, you know?
Seems like a compliment. Seems like a good thing.
You want to keep, you know, improving and being different. So, yeah.
Well, no offense, this is your best apartment yet. Hope you don't
no
mind.
No offense, this apartment is better than the last one. Nothing bad about your last apartment. But yeah, that's kind of what it is. Like, not saying your last album was bad, but this one's better. I'm like,
Did you play the new record for Rick Rubin?
No, I haven't actually. I played him some songs when I was playing records off this, because the album I played him was finished.
Yeah.
And it's so tight. I can't wait. That will come out in some way or the other. But this album, when I was playing him records, it was in such a chaotic state. Mm-hmm. You know, there was like stuff all over. So like, I'm the type of dude that like, I'm playing him records just because I made them last night. You know what I'm saying? So I can be like, yo, made this last night. What do you think? You know what I'm saying? Like, not thinking in my head, like, this is Rick Rubin. You should play, like, the songs that are like, this is the for sure. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
He heard some records off the new album, and he would give his opinion and liked them, you know? But it just, I wanted the work we did to reflect, like, the stuff we did a couple summers ago. So I didn't want to just bring them in with like 50 records and be like, make this make sense, please.
Here, sit here for like days.
Right. So I knew that it was important for this album for me to figure out what I wanted to do and do it.
Yeah. First of all, the candle smells great.
Thank you. It's a Paddy Wax Apothecary, Amber and Smoke. We got it at, Brooklyn.
See? Oh my god, you're so Brooklyn now.
I know.
Though you're living in like the least Brooklyn part of Brooklyn.
See, first of all, fuck you.
Mac likes his candles multi-layered, but he likes his tea very basic.
Yeah, very basic.
So you are living in New York. You had a bunch of cars in LA.
Right. What am I doing with them?
Yeah. Where are they? Are they in a closet? And two, we want to hear the Fisker story.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, where is that car now?
No. Like, no, we know it's on the highway.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first, my car. I have a huge storage unit in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in L.A. who wants to find it and rob me, the code is 6784.
Yeah. Is it really?
No.
No.
Fuck no. I don't even know what the code is.
See, but now he's throwing us off by saying no.
I've never been there. But I have, like, all my stuff in L.A. there. I'm getting one of my cars shipped here. I'm going to have a place in L.A. too that I'll keep the other car there. Yeah. And I have a parking spot in my building, which is clutch.
Yeah.
Here in New York.
Have you met your neighbors here?
Yeah. I'm like a man of the people. I'm out walking around.
Well, last place, your neighbors hated you.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not recording music here, so that's why they don't hate me.
So you won the Fisker from a complex contest. We were there when you found out.
That I won?
That you won.
I was super excited, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you were more confused. You were just like, what?
I won a car, but it's not my car.
Right.
And then they give it to you, and it's worth, what, $100,000 or something like that?
Yeah.
And
well, more with parts.
And what a Fisker is... A Fisker is, it's a electric car, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah. And so for those people who didn't see it on TV, tell them how it went down.
Yeah, I pulled off from the dealership and I want to drive the new car home. Like, that's the point. We took a car service out there so we could just drive the car back. And we're on the highway, first drive, and all of a sudden it just stops working. And we're like in a busy four lanes, like, you know, like those 6-lane highways in fucking LA. And we're just like, I forget where we were. We're like, but somewhere it's just not tight to break down. And we just like, the car just stopped. It wasn't even like it ran out of juice and I had some time to like, it was just like, and then like everything locked. Like I couldn't turn. I couldn't push any pedals. I couldn't even brake.
And this is being filmed at the time.
Yeah.
And instant oil from Complex is in the backseat.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, the fuck, man? Why couldn't you guys get me a Tesla? We were just on the side of the road for a while and I was trying to stay positive. And then we got it towed, and
you were charged up, but the car wasn't.
Yeah, I know. I'm charged up. And then I gave it to my dad.
You gave it to your dad?
Yeah.
Unworking car?
No, I fixed it first.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You mean you had it fixed?
Yeah, I had it fixed. No, I went under the hood.
Wrenching on the car.
No, of course I was. With like a skateboard under there, you know, right. All greasy.
The whole thing, yeah.
Right, you turned into Don Draper.
Yeah, I would love to.
So the
disappear.
You gave that car to your dad, and has it worked fine since then?
Yeah.
Also, was that like just an everyday present, or was it like, hey, I'm gonna save this for Father's Day, and it's like, yo,
no, I think it was
little hand me down.
I think I was just like, hey, Dad, you want this car? And he was like, yeah, fuck yeah. It was funny because when the car's driving down the street, it looks kind of like a Maserati. And, like, so, I remember this one time, like, it's like a head turner. Like, who's driving that?
Yeah.
So, and I see a car coming down the street one time in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, who the fuck is driving this in Pittsburgh? And I'm like, my dad? You know? So, it was like, I actually got to experience, like, a... you know, it from a third party.
That's dope.
By the way, so I follow your brother on Twitter, on Instagram.
He's a creative guy.
A lot of his followers seem to think that he's your father.
Really?
Which makes me laugh every single time.
That's so tight.
Well, how did you... So you were originally Easy Mac, like growing up, and then you changed it. Like, how did you...
I don't recall.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm joking.
No. But how'd you get... Like, why... Your brother's name is Miller.
Right.
How'd you get to be Mac Miller?
Because I wanted to fuck his life up forever, yeah. And have people call him Miller forever.
Nice. No, gave your father a car and your brother a Complex.
Yeah, exactly. And then Complex gave me the car. Hey! No, you know what's funny, though? Because no one ever believes me, but I wasn't even thinking about my brother when I chose that name. Like, I mean, which is fucked up of me, but I'm saying it wasn't like I was like, oh, I'm going to take my brother's name.
You were just like Mac Miller.
Well, Miller is like a family last name.
Oh, really?
So I remember it was actually, it was me and Q were on the phone, and when I was like 16, we're like, man, we got to do something about this name, man. We got to switch it. I want it to be like just a name. You know, it's like, hey, there's Mac. You know him. Everyone knows our friend Mac. So, you know, I just said that one and we're like, yeah, that's the name. And I remember how, I remember the test out. I was at some place in Pittsburgh where you had to sign in. And I wrote, or I said, they're like, what's your name? It's like Mac Miller. Just like to test out how it felt to have that name.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they were like, oh, sounds like a designer. And I was like, ha, keeping it. Perfect. You know.
Who said that to you?
The person that was taking the names down.
Yeah, but that seems like a plant almost. Like, it's like, sounds like a designer.
Most Dope by Mac Miller. Close.
The cologne.
No, so yeah. Yeah, we just knew that we had to change from Easy Mac whenever. Because at first, Jimmy actually came up with Easy Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't come up with anything myself. Until this album.
Right.
Jimmy came up with Easy Mac because it was like, it wasn't... It's a joke, you know. We were like, huh.
Sure.
But it was called also. It was just like, you know, Easy E.
Right.
You know, okay. Like. But then I think like I'm sometimes I never take myself too seriously. So, like I would like.
Except when it comes to recording with It's the Real, that's when you take yourself right, very seriously.
Sure, seriously. No, but I'm just saying, like at that time I didn't at all. So like I would like post pictures with me and like bowls of macaroni and cheese.
You know the group Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah, I've heard.
Okay, so they have some sort of inside
yes,
joke.
Yes, man. One way she should look to me.
They had keep some going. Sort of. They had some sort of like inside joke where all their fans would throw during concerts, throw lots of like Easy Mac macaroni and cheese like on stage.
Really?
Just boxes of it.
So
yeah.
They could eat on tour.
Not. No, I think it's just like
an inside
like,
joke.
Yeah, an inside joke. Did you ever have that with your fans where they were like?
No. Because like I don't.
Because you don't care about your fans.
No, because I don't. Look fondly upon that name. I'm not like, ha, man, I used to be Easy Mac. I'm like, fuck, I used to be Easy Mac.
Jimmy.
Jimmy, go hitchhike across the country and think about this.
Man, you sound just like Thundercat when he gets angry at you. Same voice. Yeah. We met Thundercat one time with Miguel in Chicago, actually.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he was like super nice, amazingly talented.
Yeah.
Little eccentric.
He's a wild dude.
Yeah. But like, it's funny when we met him. Then we were just like, oh, that's cool. And then you just start noticing like everyone talks about him, especially you. Is he in like what kind of collaborator is he?
He's
selfish.
No, he's the best. He's actually just one of the greatest musicians I've seen in person play something. I mean that's like one of my best friends. But like I've gotten the privilege to just jam out with him and witness him do some pretty amazing things musically, and he's like behind a lot of stuff that's like the Kendrick album. You know, like there's certain songs on the Kendrick album, and this isn't a knock, but there's certain songs in the Kendrick album where I'm like, this is like a thunder, like you know what I'm saying? Where you like hear, you're like, oh shit, that's like fucking Thundercat. You hear it so much. So it's dope, man. Like he's out here, and that's he's. Cool. I just saw him play with Kamasi at the Blue Note.
Who all has been to your apartment here? Anybody? How long have you been here for?
About a month or two.
Okay. So besides Rembert.
Rembert has
been here. Have your parents been here?
No. Okay. Rembert's been here. My girlfriend's dad just left this morning.
Ian.
My girlfriend's dad.
No. I'm saying in addition.
Oh.
The third one, yeah.
No. No, Ian is not my
girlfriend. How old is Ian?
He looks old.
Ian's been here. Thundercat's been here. Craig Jenkins has been here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he writing it up for Vice? Or is he just
I don't know. He came by to hear the album.
Okay.
Because he takes himself seriously.
Mm-hmm. You know? Sure.
No, a few people, but it's not that kind of spot, you know?
Right. I mean, like, that's, like, my real question, which is, like, is it a conscious decision What's the thinking?
The idea is that I'm going to get a place somewhere and kind of recreate, never recreate something that's gone, but create my work environment or the hangout, if you will. Mm. Just a workspace somewhere. And then to separate home, like I want home.
Right.
That's kind of a big idea about living here is like to have my home that I don't have a studio in, that I don't work in.
Yeah.
That, like, I go to work and then come home and not be surrounded by work, or not, like, you know, not have a bunch of, you know, like if I have the opportunity to go in and make music every day, like, I'm going to do that. And it's not what I need to be doing. I mean, I have an office here that I'm going to, like, have a little beat making stuff just to put down ideas. But no, for the most part, this is going to be home, which is, I'm super excited for.
That's great.
Yeah.
When was the last time you took the subway?
Last night.
Well.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way that Mac takes the subway.
No, it was on last night.
Really?
Yeah, yesterday.
Do you know how well do you know the subway, Mac?
Horrible. My girl's really good at it. I'm
not so much.
No, I'm like, if we just get out there, we can take an Uber. but the subway's cool. It was fucking hot last night.
Yeah.
Yes.
And people like recognize me in the subway, but then like you're in the subway car.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're already on the train, it's moving, so like you can't be like, "All right, man. Well,
Yeah.
There's no part of you that just like walks across the entire thing.
No, I mean, you know, I just, you know, come. I mean, I can have conversations with people.
Sure.
Prove it.
This is, yeah. There's some of those sound waves for me.
Do you try and disguise yourself, like, at any point?
You know, we were actually making that joke the other day, because I always get recognized when I walk around. And I don't know what it is, but, nothing I can do.
Well, it might be the tattoos all over you.
I've covered the tattoos. Like,
with what?
With gloves?
No, I've literally, like, pulled my hood, my hoodie over my hands. Right? Put the hood up. Mm-hmm. We're just making that joke. It's like if my nose was popping out. So we'd be like, "Yo, there's a nose ring left. No, that's Mac Miller." Like, let's see the, "Oh, shit, I know that nose." I've walked around with a fake beard before.
Really?
Yeah, that didn't
over work. Your real beard?
Yeah. but not a long one. I did that on tour, which is like you can't, because I was seeing if I could, like, you know, on Jimmy Kimmel, like they have like them dress up and go, yeah, like, that shit didn't work for me.
You couldn't do like a Miley Cyrus thing where you like just do a fake accent?
Well, you know, it's
but those are all tourists who like don't know anything.
Right, but this is also the funny thing is that like, I'm at a certain point of celebrity where, like, I'm not that... if we did an episode like that on Jimmy Kimmel, most of what would happen would be, "So, what do you think about Mac Miller?" And most of it would be, "Who?"
Yeah.
That would be the... like, and that would be great TV.
I disagree, but sure.
That'd be funny for me.
So at a certain point, you and Rostrum decided to part ways, and then you went looking for a major label specifically, right?
I think I knew it was where it was going to go. I think, I did stuff independently for a while, just myself. And I got sick of paying for everything.
Sure.
No, but I was looking for a company to work with. So a major label, pretty much.
So did you visit all the major labels?
Yeah, I met with every single one.
Did any of them like go above and beyond what you expected in terms of presentation or food or anything?
No, because that shit wouldn't work on me. You know?
No, but just as a sort of like, you won't leave hungry type of...
But you know what? How we did it is we actually had most of the meetings. I made everyone come to me.
Like LeBron James.
Like, no, I just had, like, because that was when we were in the sanctuary still, so it was like, you have to be able, if I'm going to sign with you, you have to be able to kick it in this room.
Wait, the Rick Rubin sanctuary?
No.
Miller one.
In the Studio City House.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Like, where the beanbags.
Yeah.
So, like,
the neighbors didn't like him.
So, Cameron Strang, who's Warner, actually... When we had our meeting, he came through. He's like 6'8". He came through and just like picked, like, everybody else, like, would sit on the couch or something, or, like, a chair, mm-hmm. like, that we would have set up for these meetings. But he came, sat right on a beanbag.
That's dope.
And just kicked it and chilled for, like, a while. Like, he hung
Days?
Out. He was, like, abs all over again. It's like, you wake up and Cam Strang is brushing his teeth. No, but he...
But he made you breakfast.
No, he was there till, like, 10:30, 11, like, just hanging out, listening to music. And one of the things I really liked about... as what songs he liked. You know what I'm saying?
Of yours.
Yeah.
Not, like, once again, Red Hot Chili Peppers or...
No. It was like, you know, I play music and what he would be like, oh, I like that one. Mm. And I'd be like, you know, because I would try and... I met with certain labels that I would just try and weird out.
On purpose.
Yeah, just for fun.
Sure.
Just to, like... Because I have such a variety of music that, like, I have, like, probably 20 songs that are just, like, depressing electronic songs that I sing about, like...
And you were like, this is my new direction. Right, what do you think about, like 20 songs
right,
like this?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. And so, like, I'd have, like, a label come through, and I would... and I think it was RCA came through, and I played them a whole bunch of really left-field songs, and they still called back and wanted to... I was like, hey, okay, fuck you, yeah.
They're like, we see Usher on this?
No. They were like, oh, it was cool. But, yeah, I met with everybody. I went to certain offices. I went and met with Jimmy.
Yeah.
Had my Jimmy Iovine meeting.
That's cool.
That was sick.
Wait. I thought you were talking about Jimmy, your friend.
Jimmy friend was of one rapper, of the labels yeah. that we met with.
Jimmy Iovine while he was still at Interscope?
Yeah. I mean, it was known that he was departing.
Right.
You
right.
know, so we met with the new president, too. But
So Interscope, did you Def Jam?
Yeah, I did Def Jam.
Out there?
Yeah.
Was that with No ID? Or?
That was with, because I've, like, me and No ID, I've been in the studio together. He actually helped me name this album.
Really?
Yeah.
Well. What was his input?
Well, because the album was called, the working title was called Good Morning.
Okay.
And I was like, I have this album, and it's called Good Morning, but I don't like it. Like, I don't want it to be called that. I just like the concept. But, like, every time I hear Good Morning, I hear Kanye.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm talking to No ID about this.
Yeah.
Was he familiar?
and he was just like, call that shit Good AM. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you can just have that one. So, yeah. So, shout out to No ID. But I met everyone.
Atlantic?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, not everybody.
I didn't even Atlantic. It wasn't any, like, negative towards Atlantic.
Sure.
I think it was that...
You were too much like Flo Rida, and you were just like, well...
No. For me, it was that everyone has secretly thought I've been on Atlantic this whole time.
Oh, true.
So, like, if I would have been like, and now I'm on Atlantic, it'd have been like, I knew it! So, yeah. So
but the funny thing about Warner is, so Warner and Atlantic are under the same corporate umbrella.
Shh. Wait a minute. Warner distributes Macklemore stuff. Hold on.
They had all of their rap artists put over on Atlantic at a certain point, except Drake has his situation over there. October's Very Own is OVO Sound is over at Warner,
right?
And you're over at Warner, and that's basically it. Like, as far as, like, rap acts, right?
They have
and Currency, I think, kid. Right?
No, Currency's over at Atlantic.
Oh. They have a Dottie Jack, putting you on.
Yeah,
but I mean that they're starting to build. Like, Cam is trying to build something there.
That's cool.
So,
but I didn't know if that was, like, a plus for you, where you're like, oh, I'll stick out. Like, I'll just be, like, one of you.
It was a plus for me that it was, like, they're building something new, and I'm going to be, one of the faces of it.
Yeah.
Me and the owl.
Yeah.
That's fucking... I'll stand next to that owl any day of the fucking week. I know, and that hotline bling.
It's a great song.
Nice. It's a fucking beautiful song.
It is.
But, No, I mean, yeah, that was a huge plus for me, I think.
When are you and Drake going to work together?
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
Well,
I keep on asking, and he keep on saying no. Oh, it's like, no. Wow.
It's like this relationship all over
again. No. But everything is timing for me. So when it feels right, it will happen.
Yeah. So we had Alchemist on.
Yeah.
And he's the best.
The Alchemist is the best.
And he was instrumental in introducing you and
Eminem
in Japan, right?
Yeah. I'm in Japan and me and Al go record shopping. By the way, Alchemist is just so legendary. And like the fact of how relevant he is now is crazy because I'm looking at pictures of like him, Premier, Dilla, and D'Angelo, and you're like,
Photoshop, right?
No, but I'm saying it's like crazy. And like we've been over at Al's watching old Mobb Deep tour footage. That's like, oh, just amazing. We go record shopping, and they have the show, and I'm like, I'd love to go. I didn't plan on meeting Eminem. I didn't think it would happen. With the help of Al and Paul.
Yeah.
I forget the other dude's name.
Eminem.
But no, they came and brought me backstage, and I had a broken arm at the time. And Em walked out.
Oh, yeah. How'd you break your arm?
Oh, my God. That was when I was on tour with Wiz. The Under the Influence tour.
That explains it.
No, I was on stage and I'm like, I keep my cool. Like I don't get mad. But my power on stage kept going out and I swear either Wiz or Benji was pulling my plug. No. No.
And that's why you signed with Warner.
No, I'm joking. No, but my power kept going out. So go out. But like my mic would stay on. So like the first time it happened, you know, I'm standing out there for like 10 minutes, 5 minutes talking to the crowd, which on stage is like a fucking, it's like a decade.
Right.
So, you know, I'm like, just like, hey, everybody.
Did you do crowd work?
No, yeah.
And
who here's from out of town?
So, how about that ride in?
It's hot out.
No, so like the first time, I'm like, I take my show really seriously. Like, so I take myself really seriously. You know, just talking to the crowd, and I walk back to backstage, and I'm like, all right, I'm a little pissed. Like, we only did like the first song, part of it. So I'm like, we're going to I was like, so they say, oh, everything's back and running. So I tell the crowd, all right, I'm coming back. I'm going to start the show from the beginning, and you're going to retend that you haven't seen me. So I come back, and the energy's fucking crazy there, you know, saying, because like, if you tell a crowd to do something, they do it. Yeah. If you're me.
For everyone out there.
If you want to know how to work crowds, tell them what to do. But actually, that's like great advice. Tell them what to do. They want to be told. But you you go, so I go backstage, I come back on stage, and it happens, and then I'm performing, and then shit shuts down again. So I lose it. Not on stage. I'm like, okay, guess we're having technical difficulties. See you in a second. I walk backstage, and I throw a Gatorade across the room, and I go into my dressing room and just start punching shit and breaking shit, and just freaking the fuck out because no one is handling the shit, and I can't. If I could fix the fucking, I would do it myself, you know? And I guess what they're saying is like a cord got unplugged. It was like, it was Benji and Wiz. Yeah. just joking. No. But like,
now when something gets unplugged, we call it a rostrum.
Right. I'm like, hey, Benj, I know we don't work together anymore, but my toaster's unplugged.
He's like, what? I'm like, hang on.
No. But so I go, I'm freaking the fuck out, and I break everything in the dressing room, and then I get to the bathroom, start punching the shower and breaking all these things, and no, but and then like I turn around and just like in a rage, I like wind up because there's a door, and in my head I'm like, I'm gonna punch through this fucking door to be like the exclamation point to this whole sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I'm like,
let me tell you something.
And I go to punch through the door, and then it's cement.
Oh.
So like,
were you in jail?
It's like a cement door. So so my hand just folds. So it's like my, for those of you at home listening, I have a thumb.
Still
an index, I mean a pointer finger, I think you call that, then a middle finger, then the rest of my hand was folded under.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
I think you need to work on your form.
So, or just punch non-cement doors. So I'm kind of, you know, freaking out, crying a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
Chewbacca.
That sounds, yeah. I think that sounded cooler than that. But then they come to me and they say, you're ready to go on. So I'm like, fuck. Okay. So I'm like, all right, let's go. And I went, held the mic with my left hand the whole time. And, like, did the whole show.
With a flappy hand?
With a flappy hand.
Wow.
This is my strong hand. So I do the whole show. And then right after, hop in the ambulance and go to the hospital and get fucking all types of drugs. So, because they have to, like...
Yeah.
They have,
did
like...
Did anybody notice, like, of your handlers or whatever? No. Yeah. Nobody was like, I think something
in the back row.
No.
Yo, your hand!
No. See, Mac had to tell them to call an ambulance, and the audience did. Yeah.
That actually would have been great.
Yeah.
No, like,
put your hands up.
My handlers, what does that mean again? Like, people that work with me?
Yes.
Yeah, they all knew. I showed them. I was like, my hand is completely broken. And they're like, what do you want to do? And I was like, let's do the show. Because it was really badly broken.
Well,
so they had to set my
Is that the most stereotypically rock star moment that you've had?
Yes.
You think? You're just like,
I mean, other than like
other
drug
than
addiction.
Toronto, yeah.
And I mean, and drinking a fifth of Jameson every show. Yeah, sure.
Have you ever?
That was on your rider?
I drank a fifth of Jameson on stage every night.
Yikes.
Wow.
That's
how you would time things?
Yeah.
You're like,
looks
bye.
Like I'm almost done.
Were you sponsored by them?
No.
Oh, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah, missed
I should be. But I mean, I was like 19, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
No, it's like, but there was, anyways, I have too many stories. But yeah, so I go to meet Eminem. He makes fun of me for my hand, which made me comfortable because I'm like, but that was the most starstruck I'd ever been, for sure. Mm-hmm. I didn't think, like, because I've met a lot of people and been cool. Hanging out, you know, like, but M walked out and I was just like, holy shit, that's Eminem.
How did you get the Cam'ron verse?
Oh, me and Cam did a few songs together. I just hung out at his house a bunch of times.
In New Jersey?
Yeah.
He has a strip club.
It calls it the Boom Boom Room.
Yeah.
Look, man, I'm not giving away anything about his house. It's his house. Yeah, but I hung out with him. I hung out with him and his mom one time.
Virgie.
Yeah, Virgie's great.
Yeah.
So we just recorded music and just kicked it. And it's funny because we were going to do a project for Christmas. We were going to do a Christmas album. But it was around around the same time I was going to do the Pharrell EP. I was also going to do a Cam'ron Christmas album.
Okay.
And he wanted to do it like Step Brothers themed.
Yo, I was originally, like, when you mentioned that you let the Pharrell thing pass because you're like, I had a vision and I was thinking long term now, I think you're wrong. Like, you didn't put out that Cam project. You should have put both of them out.
I know. I mean, looking back, I wish I did, but I think to me, it's just what I put out. You know, I made 9 albums before I put this one out. To me, it's like, and nothing I do is whack, so all of them are great. But no, so
that's
like
why none of them come out.
No, but they. But that's what I'm saying. It's not because of quality. It's just because what's the think before you speak. You know.
Wait, can we talk about the first time you met Nas? Not the rapper Nas,
the writer.
Nas. Yeah.
Okay. The story of meeting Nas the first time is better.
Well, what was that like?
Well. I'm like curious of when this fucking song is gonna come out because I did the beat for the song. It's me, Nas, and Boldy James.
You produced a song for Nas
with me doing a verse in the hook, and then him doing a verse and Boldy doing a verse.
Wow.
Yeah, and I had to make the beat in front of him.
Wow.
It was like super.
Wait, had to?
Yeah. Why?
Well, had to, meaning, like, that's fucking terrifying.
No,
but why?
I mean, like, is this, like, a Hennessy event where they're, like,
oh,
contractually,
you have to make
it in front of him?
No. It was, like, that's how it ended up happening. Like we came to the studio, I pulled out my stuff and started working. He didn't even know who I was. Like, no,
he was like, so you're the engineer, huh?
Yeah,
he was like, yo, alchemist.
No, so I start working, and I'm sitting right next to him. Like, we're smoking a blunt. And I'm like making this beat and just trying to like not think about the fact that Nas is sitting next to me. and he I'm working, playing chords, and he turns over. He's like, "Yo, you a genius." I was like, I peed a little bit.
Yeah, that disproved that real quick.
Yeah, so there's a song, I think it's coming out in the Mass Appeal album whenever that comes out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And his verse is crazy. I think when I get on songs with people, they rap really well because they don't want there to be any chance that I have a better verse.
That's cool, though.
That's tight.
Yeah.
It's flattery.
That's real.
If you get a verse from someone and it's a doo-doo verse,
yeah,
you know they don't give, like, they're like, I don't even have to try. You know, that's like a thing. If someone actually raps on something with you, that means that they're like, I have to come to play. So Nas came to play.
That's awesome. Well, Mac, I'm happy to say you seem like you're in a really good place.
I'm more than
physically and spiritually.
Yeah. In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. Yeah. No, we're happy to have you on the East Coast. Hopefully we can see you more.
Happy to be here.
And congratulations on the new album.
Thank you.
Good AM, September 18th.
Yeah,
there's Warner Brothers Records.
Remember Music, Warner Brothers. Yeah, that's our label there. Yeah. Remember Music, Warner Brothers.
Do you remember music?
Yes. I want the people to. The tour. I'm trying to go through all the promo things. Tour is go to haveagoodam.com. That's where you should go.
How many websites do you have at this point?
A lot.
A lot, right?
Yeah, I had one. I had a Tumblr back in the day called Two Girls, One Mac.
Nice.
Yeah. Good AM, September 18th. Make sure you get that. Pow, 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 pow.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to our interview with Mac Miller. We just want to send our love, our support, our condolences to Mac's family, to Mac's friends, to Q, Jimmy, Clockwork, Ian, everybody in the Most Dope family, Rostrum, Warner, Pittsburgh, anybody who listened to Mac's music or interacted with him in any way, whether you got to actually meet him or not. We're all in this together. And we all have to get through this together. As Mac said on his song, America, I'ma live forever, 'cause a legend never dies.
God bless Malcolm McCormick, a.k.a. Mac Miller,
a.k.a. number one album having ass motherfucker, a.k.a. motherfucking Macadelic dropping ass motherfucker, a.k.a. Pink Slime about to come out soon, a.k.a. Bonnaroo performing ass motherfucker, a.k.a. Gucci bracelet and a diamond rollie on, a.k.a. the motherfucking shit, a.k.a. bar mitzvah twice because I got money like that, a.k.a. been fucking bitches since I was two, a.k.a. the best interviewer in the whole motherfucking planet, a.k.a. two mics, one Mac, two girls, one Mac, three bitches, one Mac, and look, and that's a wrap. Pow, 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 blah, 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 blah.